for a little bit. Numbers chapter 22. And gentlemen, if I could ask for something when we're done, if you can just take the board and kind of slide it back there, because I want to allow for invitation time if the Lord leads that way. Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22. And got to meet with Brother Craig before church, getting geared up for another year of midweek Disciples Bible Club for kids and Vacation Bible School next year, which you may go, oh, that's a whole year away. I feel like we blink and we're back at VBS. So that was a blessing just to sit down with him and look back over the last eight years of these things going on and how God has blessed and how kids have gotten saved and families have been touched through it. So appreciate the faithfulness of him and Miss Juanita. Numbers 22, let's go to verse number 1. And tonight, the study, the thought, the theme is this: when God himself can't stop you. Now, let me explain this. It's not that he can't, it's that he won't. Okay? What I mean by that is this. The Bible says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do we agree on that?
Yep.
Is that what the book says?
Yep.
All right. Do people perish and do they go to hell without Jesus Christ?
Yep.
All right. Does God want that?
No.
But do they do it?
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, there's an element of, at a certain point, God's going to put roadblocks in your life. If you're lost without Jesus Christ, roadblock number one could just be you stumble into church on a Wednesday night and you've never known what it means to be born again. You hear for the first time the gospel of Jesus Christ and you go, maybe I should look into that. That could be a good roadblock in your life. That could be God's way of trying to stop you from going in the wrong direction and giving you the right direction, going to heaven through Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're saved, the Lord did that for you, all right? But after you get saved, let's be honest, now we're on our way to heaven, but now as it relates to our earthly walk, there are moments, there are times where we're not exactly thinking the right way and maybe not exactly under God's authority, and the Lord goes, hey, let me try to stop you. I'm going to do everything I can, but I'm not going to make it happen. I'm going to put everything out there in front so you, by your own spirit, can see that I'm trying to work in your life to move you in the right direction. And by the way, it does affect other people. We're going to see this in the story as well. Those not familiar with Balaam's story, we'll get to know a little bit tonight. Numbers chapter 22, verse 1. And the children of Israel set, what's the next word?
Forward.
Forward. That's where God wants us to go. Not backwards, not around. You know what he says? Forward.
Amen.
All right? Let me just remind you, your rearview mirror is about this big.
Yeah.
Okay? But your windshield is about this big. You know why? Because that's where your eyes ought to be.
Amen.
All right? Set forward. That's where God wants his people to go. But let me just say this. The devil doesn't want that. So look at verse 2. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. The enemy is distressed when God's people are moving forward. He does not want that. All right? Are you tracking where we're going so far?
Yeah.
All right, look if you would at verse 4. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor. I know these names are a little confusing. Balak is the king. Balaam is a prophet. The son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Now, let me just stop real quick. Do you guys remember Genesis chapter 12? Do you remember what God said to Abraham? He said, blessed are they that bless thee, and cursed are they that curse thee. So here's a guy going, hey, these people are over here. I need you to take care of this. I need you to curse them for me. And what he's going to try to do is hire Balaam and try to give him a reward to get him to go against God's direction. And let me just say this. The devil knows what it's going to take to get you off the path. He's been watching. Listen, you've got, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, you know, maybe less years of experience as a born-again child of God. You may have decades. He's got millennia watching people. And I'm not trying to get all spooky and weird. I'm not saying like it's, you know, I stubbed my toe, the devil's in that wood, you know, and that kind of thing. No, that's not what I mean by that. I've met people like that. It's like, dude, chill out. You ran a red light. You crashed because you were on your phone. That's not the devil. That's you being dumb, all right? But having said that, you have to recognize the enemy's real. And you have to understand that he does not want you moving forward. He doesn't just not want you moving forward. He wants you to be used to keep others from moving forward. And that is how Balaam is going to be used in this story. Look down, if you would, at verse, we'll skip a little bit. Look down, if you would, at verse number 12. So Balaam asked God, what should I do here? Look at verse 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Let me ask you a question. Does that seem pretty simple to you?
Yeah.
It means don't go. Right? Like, even if you don't understand Elizabeth and English, like, I don't know the these and the thous, you can understand God is saying, don't do this thing. Whatever this thing is, if you don't know the Bible that well, God's going, don't do it. And again, this is the beginning of the story. Where this thing ends, look down if you would at, well, let's keep reading. Look at verse 13. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land. Get out of here. For the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again. I wish sometimes God's people were as persistent as our enemy is. And Balak sent yet again, princes. Someone was telling me, I gotta get this one off my chest. Someone was telling me that they were talking to a believer in a church, and they said, this is not a made-up story, this is real. And they said, hey, I have allergies, so none of you can come to church with cologne or deodorant on anymore.
Wow.
Now let me say this. We are not taking that advice at New Heights Baptist Church. If you have allergies, we'll pray for you. We'll lay hands on you. We'll do all kinds of things. But there's no way I'm like, don't wear any deodorant when you come to church. That is satanic, all right? You will put on something to block the odors that are going to come out of your body. I know, listen, some of you are like, but it's organic. You know what else is organic? Worms eating your body. Doesn't mean we want that showing everywhere. All right, so cover up, put some deodorant on, all right? My point is this. My point is, in telling that story, is here's someone that's been saved for years and they're willing to quit church because of allergies. And you may go, well, you know, preacher, you don't know. They may have a real severe. How did you survive at Walmart, the bank, your job? I don't know, in any part of society ever. And now you want the church to change all for you. You say, what is that? Or I'm going to take my toys and I'm going to leave. Man, I wish God's people were more like Balak. I'm just going to keep coming more and more and again and again and again. Now, that's how our enemy works. Look, if you would, at verse 16. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. Not even God. Don't let anything get in the way. Let me tell you something. When God's standing in your way and you push him out, you are asking for trouble.
Yep.
For I will promote thee in a very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Now, let me just say this much. Didn't God already say in verse 12, don't go?
Yep.
All right, look at verse 18. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. That sounds great. That sounds great. The problem is the next verse. What is there to pray about? Why do we need another night to think about this? If God said no, what are we doing? What are we doing? And I'll tell you what it is when you are not under God's authority and you have an agenda of your own, what you're saying is, God, you won't stop me.
Yep.
Not even you can stop me. And Balaam literally said those words in his heart. And God came unto Balaam at night, verse 20, and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet, the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning. I think I was probably save for about 20 years before this story ever made any sense to me. So I'm going to try to help you out a little bit with it, okay? I would read this and I would go, I don't get what God's problem is. Because God said if they call, you can go, you just have to make sure you speak my words. That's what he says, right?
Yeah.
But there's a clause. And the clause is this. If in the morning they get up and they call you. But look at verse number 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass, that's a donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. No one calls him. You know what that shows me? He already made up his mind. He's just saying, God, I just really want you to approve this so I can feel better about what I'm doing. Look at verse 21, or verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went in the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. Let's ask God's help on this study and for hearts to be touched. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Kidan, if you would ask God's blessing on the word, please. Yes. Yep. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Can I just, by way of introduction, give you a couple things contextually? Because I think they matter, and I think it'll help you make more sense of the story and the narrative itself. If you look down, look back at the beginning of the chapter, you'll notice again that what God wants to do with Israel is he wants to move them forward. You know what God wants to do with New Heights Baptist Church? You know what God wants to do with every Bible-believing local church? You know what God wants to do with every Christian? He wants you to go forward. He wants you to go beyond where you've been. Listen, what you would say if someone, and I know I was raised in the 90s where if someone did something that was goofy, we would say that's retarded. I'm not talking about that. I don't mean that derogatorily, but literally, scientifically, if someone does not grow and their growth is stunted, the scientific term is there's a retardation of growth. You say, what does that mean? They cannot go beyond where they're at mentally. Their capacity is limited. That's not a derogatory thing. That happens. And as it relates to the Christian life, do you realize that you've got Christians that never grow beyond a certain point? They have retarded their own growth. I don't say that to sound funny. I mean, literally, they came to a place where God was saying, let's move forward, and they said, no more. And when you do that, you know what you're saying? God, you're not going to make me. You're not going to stop me. You're not going to drag me. I'm done. You know what God wants to do with our church? He wants us to move forward. You know what the Lord wanted to do with Israel? He wanted them to go forward out from where they were at, leaving Egypt. God called them where from? Out from Egypt to get them somewhere. Where? To their promised land. What did it take to get there? Forward is what it took. Now, here's what I need you to understand. When God is talking to Balaam, and Balaam's got this opportunity and this business opportunity from Balak, the king of Moab, and he's got this opportunity to have the rewards of divination, as it talks about in the passage, and make some money and make a name for himself and be famous and be in a place of power and all the stuff that the world and the devil and the flesh will offer to a believer. When he has that offer to him, understand this. He doesn't realize where the story ends. He has no idea. He also does not know the significance of the impact of his actions on an entire nation of people. You know what he's thinking about? Himself. You know what the challenge is as a believer? To not just think of you. To understand that what you do and what you say and the spirit that you have and the way you respond to trials and the way you respond to conflict and the way you respond to things that God brings in your life, that speaks not just about you, but everyone around you. Understand, no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. I've seen more churches destroyed and more Christians out of church and out of fellowship with God for gossip, more so than I have someone getting high or anything like that. You know, I see, we look at things, we go, oh man, I would never go here on Friday night. I'd never go here Saturday night. But man, your tongue can literally wipe out an entire group of people just like that. Christian, what I'm trying to get you to understand is this. As a Christian, if you're in Balaam's shoes, what you think is, it's just about me. It's about me getting what I finally deserve. It's about me getting what I want out of life. When do I get what I want? That's what Balaam thought. He had no idea that what he would do would destroy the movement of the people of God. And you may think, well, it's just my own life. It's my personal life. It doesn't matter. What you do affects other people. I don't know how else to get this across. When a person goes behind the wheel and they're drunk and they hit someone, they kill an entire family, I know that wasn't their goal, but they destroy lives. Hundreds of people, maybe thousands, are touched by that family that's lost. Now, that's just an illustration. You may go, well, that's not me. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, there are some Christians that are driving with their ability impaired. They are moving, and they don't know what they're doing, and they're getting behind the wheel, and they ought to say, you know what, Lord? I don't belong here right now. This is your job, not mine. But you know what Balaam thought? I'm going to get what I want. Understand this much. From the context of the story, there's a whole myriad of things kind of going on behind the scenes, kind of like the tapestry, if you will, of the backdrop of this story. The enemy watches the progress of the people of God. He doesn't want it. When God's people are building the temple, doesn't the enemy try to come in and destroy that work by ridiculing them, by making them be afraid over there in Nehemiah? Isn't that what the devil wants? Absolutely it is. You know one of the worst things in the world? They say friendly fire. You know what that means? You get shot by your own. Friendly fire, it doesn't matter where the bullets come from. If they hit you, you're dead. Friendly fire isn't so friendly. Are you with me? And as it relates to the Christian life, understand that what you do and the way that you live your life, even if you think it is mine, first off, it's not yours. You're bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to God. And let me tell you something. Well, then I don't want it. I wish I hadn't. Yeah, well, you belong to the wrong guy before. It's better to belong to God. Amen. It's much better on this side of it, but there's a responsibility with that. You name the name of Christ wherever you go. Whether you open your mouth or not, they know you come to church. I mean, come on. You don't think your neighbors notice on Wednesday night your garage door opens up, you back out and you drive somewhere, and then you come back, and they can tell you're not getting hammered. They can tell you coming back with a book under your arm. They kind of go, well, what's that all about? They're watching. There's a reason why the devil wants to knock you out, because if he can knock you out, he can keep others from moving forward as well. Balaam had no idea. You know what Balaam's doing? Just thinking about himself. Look at verse 7. You know what it says in verse 7? Numbers 22, verse 7. It talks about the rewards of divination. Christian, I want you to understand this. You got rewards coming one of two ways. All right? In the financial world, you can have a deferred payment. You know what I'm getting? You know what I'm going to get when I get to heaven? A deferred payment. You say, what does that mean? My job is not to try to cash in right now. If I cash in right now, and if some of you aren't tracking me, let me help you out. The Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. The Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. What that means is this. You ought to be living a life that says, I don't need it all right now. Amen. I can't wait to see it on the other side, but I don't need it. This modern Christian movement where God exists to pay your bills, make you happy, give you the perfect everything, that's not Bible. You ever read Paul's life? Perils by my countrymen and perils at the sea and perils of by the brethren and perils in this and perils in that. You say, was it trouble? You know what he was doing that? You know why he endured all of that? Because he knew on the other side there was a reward. It's not here. Every once in a while, God drops a handful of purpose in our life and goes, here you go. And we praise God for that. But understand, my life is not based on earth. It's not based on the terrestrial. It's not based on the temporary. My life is based on the eternal. And if you're lost without Christ, you know what you don't know? You don't know where you're going when you die. You don't know what comes after this life. You don't know what's on the other side. You don't know what is the purpose of life. If all you are is worm food, what's the deal? Why would you even exist? I'm going to tell you right now, God made you in his image. He desires fellowship with you. He made you for his glory and his pleasure. And some might say, well, you're going to tell me that this far off being in the cosmos made me so that I could please him. Yes. But let me tell you this as well. You pleasing him will be the best life you'll ever live. Amen. The problem is we got shiny object syndrome, SOS. And we look at things, oh, over here. And the Lord's like, no, not down here. You know what Balak sent to Balaam to get his attention? Exactly what he knew would get his attention. You know what the devil can bring into your life? Not what's going to get my attention. What's going to get your attention? You know, in your life, different than me, different than him. All right, in your life, all the way, we go around the room. And you know what you do? Here's what we do. Here's the problem with Christians sometimes. I know I've said it before, but remember Baruka from Willy Wonka? She's digging her nose. I mean, her finger's way up there. I'm not going to do it because I don't want you to be scared to shake my hand, all right? But she's way up there digging. And you know what she says? Spitting is a nasty habit. In other words, my sin's not as bad as yours. Where I could fall is not really as bad as brother so-and-so. No. We all have our thing. We all have a chink in our armor. The devil knows it. So what does he do? He offers rewards. Why? To get you sidetracked. To affect you. Why? So that ultimately he can affect the entire movement. He can affect, not just affect, infect the entire church. But you may go, well, it doesn't, I mean, I've got this thing going on in the background. Nobody knows about it. It's just between me and God, and I can handle it, and I can keep it down, and I don't, it's not that, but it won't hurt anybody. Let me tell you something, it does. Some of you don't realize that when you come to church and things aren't right between you and God, it has an effect on people. When you got a grudge with someone, it has an effect on people. When you're gossiping about someone, it has an effect. When you come in and you've got bitterness in your heart, it has an effect. When you start looking at people and you start going, they're the problem, and they did this, and they did this, and they did this, and you take no accountability for yourself, you know, when you come, that affects people. Yep. Now, don't start looking around going, who's the one? The one is all of us. Amen. We all have our issues. That's the point. And the enemy wants to get you sidetracked. Why? Because if he can stop you, he can stop others. Let me just say it like this. Gossip in Numbers chapter 12, that didn't stop him all the way. The spies coming back with the bad report, they kept on trucking. They doubted God, but they kept moving forward. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram in number 16, they stood up and they resisted God's authority in Moses. But you know what? They moved on from that. Moses did a big oopsie. He messed up. He got angry and said, must we fetch you water out of this rock, you rebels? And he smacked that thing. And you say, what happened? God didn't allow Moses to go in the promised land, but he didn't stop the whole nation from moving forward. They kept going. So you know what I think? I think the devil's watching this entire thing going, I know how to trip them up really good. I know how to get them in a way. And the way it comes off in the story initially is, I need you to come over here and curse these people. You know, Balaam never curses them. So if you want to go by the, I didn't ever break what God said. I mean, I didn't ever, you know, like, I know what the no-nos are. I didn't do the no-no. I just found another way to get what I wanted. You say, what is that? That's Balaam. You say, what is that? That's the old nature. It's in all of us. And you say, well, what does he do? Well, number one, you know what he does? He ignores God. Go back to Numbers 22. Look, if you would, at verse, let's see here. And by the way, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. But on the flip side, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look, if you would, at verse number 12. God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with him. That's really clear. Can I say one of the first ways of proving that you won't, not even God's going to stop you, is when you just ignore simple instructions and you make things very complicated when they don't have to be. When you're kind of like, well, I know what the Bible says, but, and I know, you know, but, and, you know, God did say that, but, and my situation, but you don't know about me and how I was raised, and blah, 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 and fill in the blank. Look, if you would, at verse number 13. Look what Balaam says at the end of that verse. Now, read it. As a teenager would say it. Mom said, I couldn't go. Is that not what you're reading there? It has nothing to do in Balaam's mind with the relationship with God. It would be like this. And I don't know, this is probably dangerous territory. I'm kind of scared here by doing this, but here we go anyways. All right. If another woman said, let's go on a date. Not going to happen. Don't get freaked out on me. Another woman says that. And I went to my wife and I said, honey, what do you think about this? He was a good man. That was the end of Pastor Adrian, right? All right, now if I went to her, number one, that'd be stupid. Amen. Can we agree on that? Can I get a witness from you ladies in here? That's an amen. All right. So what would possess the idiocy within me to go, honey, what do you think about this? Unless my mind was so twisted and messed up that somehow, in some metaverse, you know, parallel universe, that I would think, some Spideyverse, that my wife would go, sure. She would never do that. You know why? She cares about our relationship. You know how Balaam's approaching this? God said, I can't go. Yeah, but it's not God saying, you can't go. It's God saying, you don't want to go down that road. See, he ignored the whole point. For Balaam, it was just, God said no. So I'll just stay here, and I'll hold on to the words of God, and I'll suffer for the Lord. That's okay. I don't have to have the prizes. I don't need the rewards. I don't need anything. I'll just be okay, just me and God, right? I mean, just knock it off, Balaam. This whole, like, woe is me. That Balaam, that's the attitude that you get from it. You know why? He ignored the simple instruction, and he didn't realize it was for relationship reasons. It wasn't just a rule thing. It wasn't just God said no, so I can't do it. It was God said no for my good. Let me say it like this. Balaam cared more about getting his way than being in fellowship with God. If you don't believe that, look at verse 20. Okay, you ever told your kid no? Parents, listen up for just a moment. You told them no, but now they've got their friends around. And they're going to, I got a bunch of heads shaking right now. Oh, those little suckers, you know. We all did it as kids as well. We thought our parents are dumb, and they're not going to notice. I got five of my friends, and I'm looking at my dad, and I'm asking him something that he already said no to, but now I got friends around, so surely dad's going to cave. But instead, dad looks at me with that look like, no te atreves. I know what he's saying. When we get home, you're going to get some fuerte. You're going to get something for what you just, I know what he's saying. He doesn't have to say it with his mouth. He says it with his eyes. And he looks at me like, I thought I told you no. And now it's like, well, now you're embarrassing me. No, you stupid. You're the one that brought your friends along. You already knew dad said no. It's not dad's fault he said no for the second time. You know what I see here? It's kind of like this. Paraphrase verse 20. Well, can I go now? That's verse 20. You say, what is that? That's a heart that is not submitted to God's authority. On the outside, it's all good. God said, I can't curse him. I'm not going that far. And oh, by the way, he never actually does go that far. He just messes Israel up in another way to get what he wants. Christian, can I ask you a question? Is no good enough for you? See, some of you have a problem with thou shalt not. Oh, so archaic. I'm sorry, but you got to admit, you can't do that. It's not the same as thou shalt not. Something about thou shalt not is like, ooh, he's serious. Am I right about that? I mean, it's kind of like, okay, I'm not going to go there. You know what Balaam does? Okay, well, God said I can't do that. Now, I won't go that far. But it's all about making a show more than it is keeping my relationship with him. Christian, can I ask you tonight, how's your fellowship with Jesus Christ? Are you on the outside mechanically doing just enough to show everybody else that I'm not breaking that one thing, I'm not crossing that line? Or is it, I just know he doesn't like this, so I'm not going to do it because it doesn't make him happy? What are simple instructions in your life that sometimes you complicate? What are those things? Secondly, can I say this? Look, if you would, at verse number 19 in the passage. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night. You say, what is this? After he asks God, can I go now? He's got his friends. And he's like, look, let's just do a sleepover. And, stay up all night, whatever, eat some pizza. Well, we'll figure out in the morning. Let's ask God and let's see what he says. And I want you to know, if God says I can't go, I can't go. I need you to know that. Like, I can only do what God tells me to do. Because I'm a good Christian. Look, if you would, at verse number 19. I pray you tarry also here this night that I may know what the Lord will say to me more. Do you think maybe spending too much time with the wrong crowd can have an effect on you? He says, tarry here this night. I mean, I'm not going to spend a bunch of nights with him, just one. I don't know, man. Ask David. One night can mess you up pretty bad. I mean, ask Pharaoh. One night can mess you up pretty bad. One more night with the frogs. One more night, one more night, one more night turns into I'm now responsible. I've got the blood of millions of children on my hand because I refuse. It isn't God. You can't point the finger at God. God gave you every out and you didn't take it. You say, what happened? God just kept coming and saying, hey, one more night. Are you sure you want that? One more night. Pharaoh goes to Moses, hey, get rid of these frogs. When do you want me to do it? Tomorrow. Why would you wait one more night? One night is enough to mess you up.
Amen.
How about the angels that go to Sodom? Remember that story? One night was enough. How about what that Levite and that concubine in the book of Judges, one night messed them up. One night's a big deal. Just like one night at an altar can change your eternity forever and get you on the right path, one night with the wrong crowd can mess you up forever. And you may think it's not that big of a deal. And I know what's happening, Pastor, you know, what are you talking? Who are you talking to in this? You're like, nobody does it. How about virtually? Who are your connections? Well, I don't, you know, that's my personal life. Well, first off, let me just say this. This is Pastor Adrian, not Father Adrian. We don't have a confessional booth here. You don't come tell me your dirty laundry. I don't want it. I've got my own. I've got a high priest I go to. His name is Jesus, all right? And I'm thankful I can go to him. I really am. And you ought to be as well. I'm not wanting you to come and confess your sin. That is not what this is about at all. Here's what it's about. You getting to a place where you go, there are no golden cows. There are no secret rooms. There are no areas of my life that are mine that no one can see. And God, you're not allowed there because I'm going to do what I want to do in that room. And then when I come out, I'll be the good Christian. That is not how you live the Christian life. And whether you realize it or not, you will hold back the people of God when you decide to do that. You say, what is it? Just a little bit of the wrong crowd. I mean, I don't know about you, but I guarantee if you could go back to Amnon and say, hey, would you have listened to your friend Jonadab? If you could do it over, you know what he'd say? Nope. I take it back. I didn't know it would end that way. I didn't know I'd feel so dirty. I didn't know I'd feel so guilty. I didn't know it would end my life. I didn't know it would cause a ripple effect in my entire family and ripple through the entire kingdom and further attempt to destroy the legacy of my dad, David. I didn't know all that. I just wanted what I wanted in the moment. Wrong crowd. Let me ask you, who are your counselors? Who's your circle? Who are your colleagues? Now listen. This does not mean that when you go home, all right, and your neighbor's like, hey, you're like, uh-uh, nope, we're not talking. You're not a monk, okay? We're not the Holy Order of the Holy Sisters or whatever. That's not where we're at. All right, you are a Christian living in 2024 in a wicked and adulterous generation to be a light out in there in the darkness to reach others and draw them to Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you cut off the world. I'm saying this. You learn to say, these are things and these are people that I know will cause me to slow down, will cause me to retard my growth in the Christian life, and will cause me to think differently than how God wants me to think. And if I'm too close to those people, whether I realize it right now or not, I will have to decide between my relationship with God or my relationship with them. And let me tell you, sometimes it is people that name the name of Christ that are hardest to separate from. I was talking with a brother tonight, just tonight, and he got his boss at work, pulled him in the office, said, hey, got a problem. What's the problem? Someone told me you're talking Bible in the office. If you come work for me, we're going to talk a lot of Bible in the office. Now, here's the fun part of the story. You say, what's the fun part? The other person who came with the complaint is a professing Christian. And you know what my friend said? He said this. He said, you know, I believe she's saved, which is why it hurt more. Let me tell you this. You know what that means? Someone's spending too much time with CNN, Fox News, X, you name it, like whatever's out there. Like they're spending more time there than they are in their Bible. Right. And you know what that does after a while? Just one night. Just a little bit. Not a big deal. I love it when someone says, well, I mean, does it really matter if you change a word here and there? I don't know. Would you give your kid a glass of water that's 99.9% water and 0.1% arsenic? I mean, it's not a big deal, right? And we're talking majority, the majority of it's good. That's how you think when it comes to people. Well, they're a Christian. Listen, I don't know if you've paid attention, but if you read your Bible, a Christian is a saved individual. It has the potential of doing anything a lost person can do.
Yeah.
Do you ever just want, I don't know how else to put this. You ever get tired of mediocrity?
Yep.
Like at work, I go, look, you can have a paycheck. But when you're not growing, you can't blame the company when the resources are right there. And if this guy over here is growing and you're not, start asking some questions, but you can't just say it's the company's fault. I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is you are comfortable where you're at, and you are comfortable being there for one night going, it's not a big deal. You know what that leads to every single time? Leads to the next thing, which is this. I'm going to start looking for loopholes. I'm going to try to be the exception. Look, if you would, at verse number 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. Why'd he go? Well, I know God told me. I know God exactly. Listen, if we're going to be real technical, God said not to curse them. I haven't done that. You know what else God said? God said, if they call you in the morning, but God, don't you think it's implied that they want me to go? They're here right now. Why would I have to wait until the morning to have them call me when they're already here? I know they want me to go, so I'll just go get a step ahead. You say, what is that? I'm looking for a loophole. Let me tell you something like this, Christian. Loopholes do not work for advancing the cause of Jesus Christ. Moses doesn't go in the promised land. You say, why? No golden cows, not even with God. Moses, the great man of God. God goes, you're not going in. Guys, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I read that and it bothers me. I'm like, Lord, seriously? He's the pastor of a church of 1 million-plus people. His assistant turned on him and built a golden calf. His sister is talking about him behind his back because he's married to an Ethiopian woman. These people rise up and they go, there's 250 of us. You're not the only one that God can talk to. We're all righteous. We don't need you. I mean, he goes through all of that, and Lord, because he gets angry one time and he smites that rock twice, you're not going to let him in. That just seems a little unfair to me. I'm being human with you for just a moment. Have you not ever thought that when you read the narrative? Have you ever thought, like, God, what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. Leadership's at a higher standard, and if you're a child of God, you're at a higher standard than the world.
Amen.
And God's going to go, look, I'm not making exceptions for you just because you're my kid.
Amen.
Let me tell you right now, my kids at work have to go through the same things that everybody else does, or else it kind of looks like nepotism.
Right.
You know what God says about his kids? I love you so much, I'm not going to let you get away with it.
Amen.
You're not going to be the exception to my rule. You know what Balaam's looking for? The exception. Where is the out clause? How can I make it look like I'm still doing the right thing, not cross the lines wherever to go? You are way off, buddy, and just get away with what I want to and move my cause forward without realizing when I move my cause forward, it stunts everybody else. And it's selfish. I know this is an archaic word. It's sinful. It's I'm going to get what I want, and I'm going to make it look spiritual in the process, and everyone else be you know what if you try to stop me. Some of you are like, well, what got into you? I've dealt with Christians long enough to know how they think.
Amen.
And you know what Christians will do? Save people. They'll go, well, I know how to make it look like on the outside everything's okay, when on the inside, everything inside of me that is spiritual, the Spirit of God is going, stop! They won't listen. Why? Because not even God will stop me. Peter, I won't deny him. You're not the exception, Pete. I mean, don't get me wrong, you're a good man. You did a lot for the Lord, but you won't be the exception. You will not ever go. You cannot, listen, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You can't play chess with God and win.
Amen.
Okay? You know what I see here? He's looking for a loophole. And he gets his way until God confronts him. And there's a path. And Balaam is on this donkey. And he's on this path in a vineyard. And there's a wall on this side and there's a wall on this side. And the angel of the Lord shows up. And you know what's interesting? The donkey notices God before Balaam does. And all I can think of is Shrek every single time. I hear Eddie Murphy talking to Balaam in this passage. I don't know what's wrong with me. But, you know, I'm not going to do it. So we're like, do it, do it. No, I'm not going to do it. you know what's not rational? Beating the stuffing out of a donkey because it's getting in the way of your plans. You know what I've noticed about someone that not even God will stop them? They become hostile with anything or anyone that tries to slow them down. Can I give you a little bit of testimony? I don't want to give too much away for Sunday, but there have been some things over the last couple of years where God has said, slow down, boy. You may go, well, God doesn't talk to me like that. Okay, he does to me. He calls me boy. I'm his boy. I'm his son. Slow down, boy. Hijo mío. Tranquilízate. Sometimes he speaks in Spanish, okay? Not a Jew. He doesn't speak in Hebrew to me, all right? You know what he's saying? Slow down. And I'm like, but I got to. But if I don't, and if I don't make this happen, what will they think? And the Lord's like, but I'm not in that. I'm in this. Can I point out a couple things here in this passage about this? It's really interesting. Look, if you would, at verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Look down at verse 23. Can I just say this? When God has to take an adversarial position, that's not God's fault. Yep. When God has to say, I'm against you, you can't blame God on that. Because you're the one literally going on the path that he says not to go on. Let me say it this way for you believers. If a person dies, they reject the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ, and they say, no thanks. Jesus, you died in vain. I reject you. Yeah, I know historically that you existed. I know historically that they can't find your body, but I refuse to believe it because if I believe that, then I'm accountable to God and I have to be under his authority and I don't want that. I'm good enough on my own. It's like when you give someone a gospel tract, you try to give them a gospel tract, they go, I'm good. And you go, well, that's the problem. You're not. And neither am I. That's why I'm out here trying to help other people just like me that aren't good. When you see someone that goes against God's authority with salvation, clearly, you know they can't point the finger at God and say, God, it's your fault. You know what Romans chapter 3 says for you Bible students? It says in Romans 3, they are going to try to judge God at the great white throne judgment. Yep. They're going to try to turn the table around and go, you don't know. It wasn't fair. And you don't know. And I went through this. And where were you? And God's going to go, it is written. 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 And they're going to have a leg to stand on. But you know what they're going to try to judge God. You say, what is that? That's someone that doesn't realize, even after they've been in hell, that they were wrong. Can I say it this way, Christian? You would look at that and go, that's crazy. But you do it as it relates to your earthly walk all the time. Not realizing, I'm holding some people back. Oh, don't come out. Don't come at this with a self-righteous, if I'm holding them back, I know what I need to do. I just need to be like Jonah and jump out the boat and let the whale swallow me and get out of church and just go get right with God. Okay, show me one Christian that's ever done that. Doesn't work. Not the answer. You know what the answer is? Humble yourself. Which is what we're going to talk about in just a moment. Can I point this out to you? Look, if you would, at verse number 23. And the ass, the donkey, saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. Look, man, you see some giant 13-foot-tall being with glowing, some ripped dude. I don't think they look like, you know, guys from the chess club. Sorry. If you're in chess club, I love you. I'm not picking on you. But I kind of feel like they're probably intimidating beings. And the donkey sees that. You know what the donkey does? You know why? Because the donkey's got some sense. Amen. The donkey's like, I'm not going to die for you, stupid. Look at it says in verse 23, and he turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. God's literally trying to get you back home, and you're like, nope, not listening. Verse 24. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Where is the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals now? Could use you guys right about now. Now, here's what's really interesting. I think this is the kicker. If you got nothing else at all, look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord went further. You know how far God will go for you when you won't listen? You better not reject his mercy. And don't you dare confuse mercy for acceptance. Look, I remember, and I'm not trying to ruffle feathers, I'm not trying to be offensive, but I remember in the 90s, the big thing was tolerate. Tolerate, 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 tolerate. I don't know how tolerate turned into you will have your kids listen to stories at the library from drag queens or we will call you a hater. How do we do that? I know some of you are like, oh, I can't believe you brought that up. Get over it. I brought it up.
Amen.
If you don't like it, go to another church. There's a lot of churches that won't dare touch that subject, I assure you. I'm not afraid of it, and the reason I'm not afraid is because I know God's what God says about it.
Amen.
If someone came right now from that background, they sat in here and they go, I'm looking for God, you think I'm going to make fun of them? But I would also stand in the pulpit and say, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If a heterosexual man steps out on his wife and commits adultery, wouldn't you have something to say about that? Then why is it that if it's another kind of sexual sin, everyone's like, well, we can't talk about that. Some of you women would write off, if a man in this church, you'd be like, that guy's the devil, burn him, stone him, do whatever you got to do. But if it's something else, then we're like, well, you know, I can't say, I don't know, God's the final judge. That's like me saying, you know, my son shoots someone. I'm like, well, I don't know, was it good or bad? I don't know, God's the final judge. It's bad. Like, I don't need someone. That's inside of me to know that's wrong. That's why the world is constantly seeking affirmation for it, because in their conscience they know it's not right.
Amen.
You say, preacher, how'd you get on that? I'm trying to get you somewhere. We are in a place in our generation where the Lord's kind of going, okay, the real, not the real saved people, don't get me wrong, you can be saved and be living like the devil, but those who really want to follow God, those who really want to advance the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to put you in a narrow spot. And you're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to listen to me or not. You know why God does this sometimes? Look at verse 27. What does that donkey do? She fell where? You know, if Balaam had started there, he wouldn't have gotten the whole mess going. You know what God's looking for? A little bit of humility goes a long way. You know what Balaam couldn't do? I know I'm giving my age away a little bit, but in the 90s, there was Nick at Night. Anybody remember Nick at Night? Do they still do Nick at Night? All right, well, Nick at Night was a thing in the 90s where they would play like reruns from the 50s all the way through the 70s. And I remember Happy Days. Remember Fonz, the Fonz? Hey, all right, some of you know what I'm talking about. Brother Craig, you're with me. All right, the gray hairs are like, yeah. And you young folks are like, can I find that on Spotify? No, it's not one of those things. Anyways. I remember one episode, and the Fonz had never admitted he was wrong. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And he was like, I was They're like, what is it, Fonz? He's like, he couldn't say it. You know what it takes to say that? A little bit of humility. And God puts that donkey in the way, and he goes, you can't go this way, you can't go this way. What's your next move? And that donkey had more sense than Balaam and goes, no other move but this one. But you know what this is? This is I'm right and you're wrong. This is you know better than I do.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what's hard to do? This is hard. You know what's easy?
Yeah.
I love it, you know, teenagers. Well, come here, come a little closer, you know. Well, I mean, but seriously, that's easy. You know what takes character? Bowing your knee and saying the direction I'm going in is wrong. Balaam had a hard time with that. So much so that when the donkey fell, he got more upset. Sometimes pressure comes from the Lord not to break you, but to bow you. And if you could learn to bow, you wouldn't always have to break.
Amen.
I'm going to say this. Church, I think God is wanting us to move forward in a lot of ways. How we respond to that will say a whole lot more about our character and where we're at in our relationship with Him than it does about Him. Look, if you would, at verse 31. And oh, by the way, is it rational to talk to a donkey? okay, you're beating the thing, and then the thing's like, why are you beating me? I'll tell you why I'm beating you. I'm beating you because, that would be where you stop and go, oh my God, I am talking to a donkey. Balaam doesn't do that. Do you know why? He's not humble. I will keep referencing this, and I'm sorry for some of you that have heard it over and over. What Johnny has said has kind of haunted me, but in a good way. He said, when I did come back to church, he said, I was just broken. And I knew it. You know the problem is with some Christians? I'll be right. Preacher won't tell me. God, we're going to find a way to get you on my side on this thing. All the people that know better in my life that should be my counselors, that I should be listening to, they're not going to tell me. You say, why? Because I know better. Okay. But I'll tell you this. Those aren't the people that go in the promised land. You know what it says about Joshua? Over in Joshua, actually, when it's retelling the story about this thing. You know what it says about Balaam? He ends up getting wiped out. Other people inhabit his city. Are you listening? Why? God's not going to stop me. You know what someone that won't be stopped by God does? They reject the warnings. You ever had that moment in your life where you just know, God is trying to get my attention? We're not playing anymore. This is serious. And at that moment, you have one or two responses. You know, Balaam did, he rejected the warning. Look at verse 31. Finally, Balaam's eyes are opened. Balaam, why did your eyes have to be opened and the donkey's already were? You know why? Because you had an agenda that the donkey didn't have. Look at verse 32. Look what the Lord tells him. Look at the latter part of that verse. I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. It doesn't matter if nobody else knows. Can I say it like this? Perverted passions lead to perverted paths. Yep. You know what Balaam had in his heart? I want to find a way to make it look like God's on my side and still get what I want. I love this. Look at verse 34. Oh my goodness. I had no idea you were against me, Lord. Verse 34. Really? The donkey talking didn't give it away? Look at the end of the verse. Now, therefore, if it displease thee. Really? if you don't want me to go, what kind of person does that? I'll tell you what kind of person does that. Lord, if you don't want this, I thought I made that clear with the donkey, with the broken foot. With me telling you not to go? What were you looking for? Well, I just thought if I opened my Bible and on the left side of the page, there was this one verse that said this one thing, and the word and was in it. And if the word and was in it, then I would know that and means a conjunctive junction. Therefore, I'm going to go and I'm going to do it because and means I can. What are you thinking? So some Christians live their life. You say, why? I'm not listening. Ladies, you married women, okay? You ever talk to your husband? He's in the same room with you. Or women that have been married or have dated or whatever, okay? Just help me out a little bit. A little affirmation here will go a long way. Because if you don't say amen, we're going to go for another 30 minutes, all right?
Amen.
So, ladies, have you ever talked to your husband, boyfriend, whatever, and you're telling him something? And about 2 minutes into it, you ask him a question. about your story. Like, can you believe what Becky said? And he's like, who's Becky? He was, listen to me, he was there, but he wasn't there. It drives you women crazy, doesn't it? Hey, that's enough for you. We're going to go to the altar together, okay? Now listen to me carefully. You're doing that to the Lord in certain areas of your life. And I don't know what they are. I don't need to know what they are. He does. And you do. You know what I do? I was talking to someone about this. I'm the kind of person, when the check engine light comes on, I'm like, man. The stupid auto people. Just trying to get me to spend my hard-earned money. Forget about it. I'm going to show the man. I'm going to beat back the man. Man ain't going to keep me down. I'm keeping the man. I'm not going to the auto shop. And then I break down the side of the road. You see why? I ignored the warning light. Let me tell you something. Samson kept getting up until he couldn't. There are some things in your life where you think, I'm all right. No, you're not. And you'll keep ignoring the warning light until it blows up, until it affects your kids, until it affects, and it's this big, major thing. And God's like, we didn't have to make it public. You did that, not me. You know what he's saying? Listen to the warning. You know the Bible says in Proverbs, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. You know what a hardened neck is? Oh, man. Olivia is getting older, and she's starting to get, she knows what she wants, and she does this weird scream that none of her kids ever did. Bah! It's like, what? I thought, like, is there a dog barking in the house? What is going on? And I open the door, and she's looking at me like, you heard me? There's more where that came from. And so we're starting to get to learn where the boundaries are. You know what she's doing? You know what you do whenever God's trying to get your attention? Mercy and truth will always eventually meet. Psalm says mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You can't have righteousness and peace without mercy and truth. Let me close with this thought. The reason God couldn't stop him is because Balaam really did want it all. Look at verse 35. The angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men. See, God said I could go. Okay. That's how you want to read that. But only the word that I shall speak unto thee, thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. You know what he wanted? He wanted God, and he wanted his reward. And you may go, well, it looks like God's okay with it. Nope. Look at Numbers 25. Numbers 25. And we're not going to read it all. But just look, if you would, at verse number 1. Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they, the daughters of Moab, called the people and the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down. Huh. So you're telling Balaam, if you're not willing to bow down, you may lead others to bow down to the wrong thing? Absolutely. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. I didn't curse him. I didn't curse him, Lord. You told me not to curse him. But I found a way to get what I wanted from the king. And it messed your people up in the long run. Let me just say this, Christian. That is not the legacy you want. Amen. Luciano Pavarotti, great tenor, great singer. When he was coming out of music school, he said, Father, I have two paths I can go on. I can be a teacher of music or I can be a singer. And his father said this, Luciano, if you try to sit on two chairs, you'll just fall between both of them. For life, you must choose only one chair. So, Christian, my encouragement to you is to let God stop you so we can all move forward. Let's all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the warnings. Thank you for the clarity. Thank you for the light. Lord, I pray there be no distractions right now. People would just be still and listening to your voice and hearing what you have to say to them. Lord, I pray they'd respond in like manner. Father, thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for truth. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for all of it coming together. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as a church to discern, to understand the times and understand, Lord, that going back is not an option. As the old song says, no going back, no turning back, no turning back.
Amen.
Lord, forward it is. But Lord, I know you don't take people forward when they're not willing to listen to you on an individual basis. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. The altar's open. Take advantage of it. See, what do you go to an altar for? To bow the knee. To get off the donkey you're riding and just say, Lord, it's me you're after and I get it. Let me tell you something. There have been some moments in my life where I have thought about, you know, just... You ever have those moments where you go, well, what if? And then all of a sudden, you look down the road and you go, yep, my kids' lives would be broken. How selfish would that be? What if? Christian, let me tell you, the greatest what if you could ask is, what if I could just get to the other side and I could hear him say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Man, I want to hear him say that. I can't wait to see my Savior face to face. Never met him physically. Someday I'm gonna be around him forever, and I'm never gonna get tired of it. And every time when I see him, I'm gonna say, remember what you did? Remember how you saved me? Remember how you helped me? Remember how you comforted me? Remember how you sustained me? Remember how you strengthened me? Lord, remember what you did for our church when we didn't think there was any other way? Lord, remember what you did here? Remember what you did? It's gonna be that way forever and ever and ever and ever. Christian, I'm going to tell you right now, there's some believers, they're going to look into his eyes and just say, why didn't I let you stop me? You see, when God stops you in one area, it's so he can advance you in the right one. If you say yes to everything, you're saying no to a lot of things as well. If you can't tell, we're on the precipice of some big stuff as a church. I want us to be ready. I want our hearts to be right. I want God to move. I don't want us to slow the thing down that God's picking up and moving. I want us to go, okay, Lord, our hearts are right. We're clean. You know what it says in that passage? I didn't read it. But those princes said, the Lord hasn't allowed you to advance. The Lord's holding you back. It's the same old story from Genesis. It's no different. The man's trying to hold you down. God. That's the whole lie that the devil gave to Eve, is it not? He doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods. He's just trying to hold you back from that. Yeah. Or he's trying to protect me. But see, our Heavenly Father doesn't protect us to the extent that he will not let us exercise our free will. He will allow you to take advantage of every warning he gives. But if you can't tell, even in that story, God did not paralyze Balaam. Could God have done that? You know what the Lord said? I'll break your foot. How about that? You can still get around. But every time you start kind of doing that funny walk where you can't put the weight on the foot, I want you to remember this is on you, not me. But I'm not going to break it. I'm not going to break your leg. You're going to get where you want to go. If that's what you want, go ahead. Balaam, I'm telling you, it's better to take the warnings. You say, why? Because when I allow myself individually to go against God's authority, and I say, I will not be stopped, I will be right. When I do that, whether I realize it or not, it affects the entire nation. You know what they say in politics, and I'm not going to talk about that tonight, but I'll just say this. You know what they say in politics? Elections have consequences. You know what I'll say about your individual life? The things that you elect to do. Okay. I'm going to count on my baptism and church membership and being a good person and fill in the blank. I'm going to do all these good things on my own to get to heaven. Well, according to the Bible, not according to Pastor Adrian, according to the Bible, someday you're going to hear him, depart from me, for I never knew you. But I did all this good stuff. Yeah, but you chose the exact opposite of what he offered. He offered you his sinless son. And by faith, you should accept what he did for you on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood, being buried for you, and rising again the third day for you. And doing all of that, he didn't do that in vain. He didn't do that for no reason. He did that because you couldn't do what he could do. If you reject that, man, your election, your choices have consequences. Christian, you will never go to hell because you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ. That's a blessing. Thank God it is not reliant on how we live. Thank God for that. But I will tell you, there's a whole lot of things down here that you can miss out on. Let's think of others. Remember this. Sometimes, so tempted to tell you a story, but I know I can't. Sometimes your father will say no. Not because he doesn't love you or because he's trying to keep you from having fun. But he knows if you don't stop, you'll miss out on his ultimate plan for you. Now, I can't tell you, there's no alternate ending in this story. It is what it is. But I kind of like to imagine. What if Balaam had said, I'm not going to curse those people. And furthermore, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay exactly where God told me to be. And I'm not moving an inch. And I'm going to pray for Israel. And I'm going to pray for God to turn you in the other direction. And I'm going to... They didn't do that. So you know what his legacy is? In the New Testament, it's mentioned in 2 Peter, in the book of Jude, and in Revelation. The error of Balaam, the reward of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam, and it's all negative. And he dies a fool. Terrible way to go. Why? Not even God's going to stop me. You know the story. You've heard it because you remember Leonardo DiCaprio and whatever her name was, Kate Winslet, when those fools said, not even God can sink this ship. There's a lot of ways for God to sink your ship. Amen. And Christian, I'll tell you, it's a whole lot better when you just take the warning. Take the warning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Glad you came out tonight. I hope you learned something. And maybe when you read Balaam's story, it'll make a little more sense, if nothing else. Remember, for those that are going to Mexico, we'll meet downstairs in 5 to 10 minutes. We'll make our way down there sooner than later. We got little ones, need to get to bed and all that kind of stuff. So let's be mindful of that. Let's say 5 minutes, okay, guys? Let's just do that. So 8:45, we'll meet downstairs. It is 8:39 at the moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Steon, good to see you, as always, bro. If you would dismiss us in a word of prayer.